He was worthy to be praised right then. He's still worthy to be praised. We don't give him enough praise. We don't honor him enough. We're always wanting him to give us more. More, more, more. But we don't want to give him anything. We give him so much lip service, but no heart service. You can speak whatever you want with your mouth, but your actions show what you're really all about. And God's watching everything we do. Absolutely everything we do. I was excited this morning. I'm not excited tonight. Something got in the atmosphere at home. Not in my house. My house is fine. But I said, well, God, whatever this is, you take care of forever. Get to the house of God. It was in the house of God. If you would learn to praise the Lord, if you'd really learn to worship Him from the very depth of your spirit, you would never have a bad atmosphere anywhere you go. Because your sin nature would be not. It would be totally gone. And you would be carrying the glory of the Father all the time. That is a fact. And I think Katie told us that at one point. You see, your sin nature is so prevalent, it's so right up front there that it just nullifies everything you claim you are in Christ Jesus. As you all know, we're going to hold a revival starting March 15th. I'm holding this up because I think you can read this better. This is the original. This is what we're going to go with. It's March the 15th. It's on a Tuesday, starts at 7 o'clock at night. We have, when you look at the flyer, if you notice, there's no ending dates. We're just starting a revival because God said so. And we're just going to, I said to God, well, I guess I'm going to fly by the seat of my pants. In other words, just take each second as it comes and do whatever God wants us to do. But God told me this was the glory drop that was going to go through the roof. And he told me a couple years ago, I've been warning y'all that when it starts, it's not going to stop. And God's been warning us, get your house in order because you won't have time to get it in order. And those of you who think you sneak in here, especially my staff, at 20 minutes after 7, I'm upset with you. You're not a good leader. And I'm going to talk to you about it. What are you going to do with God whenever you have to work for him 24/7? Well, sorry, Lord, I had to go eat a burger. Or I just didn't feel like getting up and getting in my car to get there on time. You don't do that for a job. So I'm going to talk about this tonight because this church, I'm ready for the revival. I don't care if you go with me or not. God will send me the twins from Virginia. Amen. Come on. All right. The Father has set us to occupy dry ground and cry out for the rain. Has he not? Isn't that what we've been doing? For 14 days, we cried out for the rain. We received a trickle of that rain. 1 Kings 18:44 said, then it came to pass the seventh time that he said, there is a cloud as small as a man's hand rising out of the sea. So he said, go up, say to Ahab, prepare your chariot and go down before the rain stops you. Now, we had the trickle of rain during the raindrop revival. Now, God is sending the flood. And he's been preparing us for the flood. Now, you can sit here and be all happy, 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 happy. But have you really prepared yourself for the flood? Let's not, the body of Christ kids herself too much. You are walking in self-deception. So God called that revival raindrops. This is what we received during the 14-day revival. There was a cloud as small as a man's hand rising out of the sea. Now some great and powerful things happened during those 14 days. I am not denying that, but it is not near, not even near what God is going to do with a great glory drop. I read a prophetic word the other day, and it said God has been setting forerunners in place who will make sure that the glory drop happens and they won't let it stop. And I'm here to tell you I'm one of those forerunners, because I've been, for a long time, God's been telling us that glory's coming. And I'm one of those forerunners, and I'm not going to let you stop it. So each one of you have to determine your heart. Nobody's going to stop what God is doing for me. Amen. You know, I started the same time that Kenneth Copeland and all those big guys started. And look what they have. And look what I have. A run-down building, falling apart at the seams, filthy, dirty, because I allowed others to steal my dream. I allowed others to tell me this isn't what God wanted. I'm not there no more. Stop and look at your own life. What have you allowed people to steal from you? What have you allowed them to steal? And so you're still sitting in a spot God never wanted you in. You should have been going forward a long time ago. So that's where I'm coming from. All right? As I sat praying, and as I sat praying and meditating on the revival, I heard God say, outpouring of mighty rains. Then I heard a date, March 15th. Now, I didn't do anything about that date. I just was waiting. And then Sister Nancy called and said, well, how many days do I clear for the revival, for deliverance? And I said, what revival? I said, I don't know of any revival. And she said, well, what about March 15th? I said, well, that was just a date God gave me. And then the same day I read a word from God, and the word was, you're waiting for me to move, and I'm waiting for you to move. So I moved. So after I moved, then God started talking to me about the revival, but he was waiting for me. He already gave me a date, and now he was waiting for me to do something with that date. Even though I didn't have all, I always like to hold the information, and I didn't have all the information, so I was waiting, and he was waiting on me. So is God waiting on you? You're waiting on God maybe, and God's waiting on you instead. Stop and think about your life, all right? We have been crying out for rain. What are we going to do when it comes? This is my question to you tonight. According to Webster's Dictionary, an outpouring is a large amount of something that is given or received in a short period of time. We all know that God wants to pour out large amounts of his glory and power in regions of the earth. During an outpouring, God emphasizes a particular realm of promises or manifestation of his spirit in the earth. He pours out heavenly manifestations. An outpouring brings refreshing and a work of the spirit that is richer and deeper than what is normally experienced. It's something totally and completely different from what you're used to. All right? Acts 3:19 says, repent, therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, so that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. Most outpourings emphasize a particular promise or gift of God. For example, could be a healing outpouring, a miracle outpouring, an outpouring of joy. There is always a divine work of the Spirit in an outpouring. He can do them all for all I care, right? And he is going to do them all. So we aren't going to say, I do want healing, though. I really do. That's my heart's desire. God, bring healing back into the body of Christ like you had it before. Because so many of the body of Christ are sickly and dying. And we need God's healing. And we've done everything we know to do. And the healings aren't taking place. So we need God's divine glory to drop with the healing powers. The voice of prophetic forerunners will go ahead and declare what is coming. I've been declaring. Before an outpouring is birthed, there will be many prophetic indication of what is coming. I'll say this later on, but I'll say it right now too. For 8 years, I've been telling you what is coming, right? And y'all know that when God told me that to tell you the glory was coming, he said, don't grow weary in telling them that glory has come, because he knew it was not going to come right then. So he said, don't grow weary in telling them that. And you know, so as the years went by, I said, well, the glory's going to come. Well, the glory's going to come. You've got to quiet and quieter. But God knew it was not going to come for a season. I did not know that. I now know my Father, and I know when he tells me something, I might have to wait a spell, right? Churches, regions, and ministries that desire outpouring must tune into the voice of seasoned prophetic ministry and heed their declarations over the plan. In other words, listen to what God is speaking through the prophets about what he wants to do across the land with revival. It broke out in California. That Doug Addison, is that his name? He prophesied that 3 years ago that was going to happen, and now it happened. Amos 3:7-8 says, surely the Lord does nothing unless he reveals his secret to his servants, the prophets. A lion has roared. Who will not fear? The Lord God has spoken. Who can but prophesy? He doesn't do anything unless he tells it to the prophets first. And the problem with the body of Christ is they don't believe the true prophets, but they'll sure believe a false one. Because a false one will tickle your ears and tell you what you want to hear. Amen. Just like Katie was telling us today about that king. Kept wanting that prophet to say something he wasn't going to say, right? Once a prophetic word has been declared over the region, the church must rise and partner with the word. And this is what I've been trying to get this church to do, is partner with the word that God is dropping the glory in this area, in this church. Amen. Refuse to let the word of the Lord fall on dull ears. Hear the word and act on it. Put faith with obedience. We have to be obedient with what God is calling us to do. As 2 Chronicles 20:20 tells us to believe in the Lord your God and you shall be established. Believe his prophets and you shall prosper. Amen. Zechariah 10:1 says, ask the Lord for rain in the time of the latter rain. The Lord will make flashing clouds. He will give them showers of rain, grass in the field for everyone. Ask the Lord for the rain in the time of the latter rain. We've been asking God to send the rain. He said he's going to send the flashing clouds. You know, whenever he told me that the revival was called the sword and the stone, I saw the stone that we have back here, and I saw that sword, and that's why we have that sword on the poster, and I found out the sword is grace and the stone is faith. And I thought about that stone. You know, every time we stand on that stone, it's by faith that we get on that stone, right? And then God always meets whoever's on that stone and does whatever they have need of. It was by faith I even picked the stone up out of my yard one day to use it as a demonstration. But I was afraid it was going to fall. I was going to jump on it, you know, and get really excited. And I thought, well, I got high heels on it. I might slip and fall. And so instead I said, well, everybody line up and step on the stone. I didn't know what God was going to do, but God did. Everybody got plastered to the stone. See, by faith, I did that. It's our faith. God said, whatever you place your hand to do, you know, by faith, I'll be there and I'll do it for you. See, God, I didn't plaster the people to the stone. God did. He met my faith. Are you understanding this tonight? He always meets your faith. Where am I at? How to steward the outpouring of God? How to steward the outpouring of God? When an outpouring begins in a ministry or region, it is vital that we are prepared to properly steward it. All right? Let's not miss the plan of God for glorious experiences and encounters. Here are some thoughts regarding stewarding outpouring. I want to stop there. When I first opened the church in the early part of the 80s, there was already a revival going on. I didn't know about it, but there was already a revival going on. And God had already greatly anointed me, which I didn't know. And so I didn't have to prepare for nothing. I just had to stay in his presence and fast, which I didn't mind doing, and just do whatever he told me to do. And so it lasted for over 30 years, the revival did. Are you understanding this? But now this is different. Now we have to learn, and I didn't have to learn how to steward it. God was just there. And, you know, whenever Katie was talking about this one church had Jesus in their church, and whenever we was having all, you know, whenever we had all the revival going on before, the Rhodes sisters, they came and ministered here. And they brought their, they called their father, "You've got to come to this church." So he came, and then, I don't know if I asked him to minister, but anyhow, he ministered. And he said, "This is the easiest place I've ever ministered and he was an old man. In my entire life," he said, "God is in this place." I mean, he was running back and forth, the little man was just a preaching his heart out, wasn't he? I mean, the anointing was so strong, he just couldn't even sit still. See, a fly could have come in here and preached, because the presence of God was abiding here all the time. We treated this like it was a sanctuary of God. We gave God honor in this church. And so God dwelt here. If you abuse God's house, he does not dwell in that house. You have to honor it. So anyhow, that was that. And all kind of miracles happened, you know. And, you know, some of you people say, "Get behind somebody." Well, we didn't have time to get behind anybody because there's too many people and they were dropping like flies and nobody ever got hurt. Amen. Recognize the moment of ignition. Every outpouring has a moment of ignition. It is like that moment when the angel would trouble the waters of the pool of Bethesda. Those who recognized the moment and acted upon it would be healed. We must recognize moments of intensity in this outpouring. You hear me? When the activity of heaven is increased in our midst, and act upon it. Do not let the moment pass us by. Let's not overlook these moments of ignition so we don't miss out on something very special. I want to stop there. That the reason why I played that video tonight, a very dear friend of mine sent that to me a couple days ago, and I didn't listen to it until today. And I was sitting there, and I just got caught away in the spirit, and all of a sudden I knew that I had to play that in the church. And see, I guess God didn't want me to listen to it 2 days ago when I first got the email. I read the email, but I didn't click on the video. He wanted me to do it. Well, I'm going to be honest here. I guess that just popped in my head. All the other videos I never liked because they were singers I don't like to listen to. So I thought, well, that's just what this is going to be too. But this was not this. And this was not the song that was on there. This is one that was on the sidebar. But see, I knew that I had to use it here tonight, and now I know why. Because there was something going on in this church that should not have been going on, and it caused anger, and it caused confusion, and God had to get that out of there by playing that music glorifying God. That's how it works. God knew all along what was going to go on here this afternoon. And so he set the scene for tonight. See, are you understanding? See, I could say, well, that's just a video. But you have to be walking in the Spirit 24/7. And everything you do, you have to be in tune to the Spirit of God, period. Or it's not going to work. Now, this is where Sister Nancy comes in. You, Nancy. Fuel it with prayer. Prayer is critical to birth and maintain an outpouring. An outpouring will only last as long as prayer can sustain it. Strong and fervent intercession is critical. Prayer is a corporate responsibility of outpouring. Now, I'm going to have to be honest with you. Whenever we, for the 30-some years, we didn't have no intercessory prayer. I just knew God was there. Little dumb me, acting like a little kid. I just lollygagged around over the place, letting God just be God through me, you know, and doing what he wanted to do. Of course, I prayed to, I thank you, Jesus, that you're with me. That was my prayer. That was the extent of my prayer, and I'm being honest. Thank you for the healing, every service. Thank you, God, it wouldn't be for you. This would never happen, which is true. But I didn't sit down and pray and cry and go on, "Oh, God, make sure you're there." I just didn't do that because he was there. And I knew he was there. And I knew he was with me 24/7. Amen. And we might not need you to do that either, because I know my God is with me right now. Because he gave me some visitations that I'll never forget. Amen. The last couple of days. you know, God's awesome. You know, he gave me that dream about, that vision about being in the forest and the perfect peace. And I thought that was absolutely outstanding. And then this morning he let me see the field of flowers, beautiful flowers, with him walking in it. So I'm sitting here today and I said, all right, now, God, I said, I need to get into that forest of perfect peace. And I'm trying to see this forest, you know, again. And he showed me the field of flowers. And I was in the field of flowers, and him and I were dancing. He wanted me to see that, and he said, you're my bride. That was better than any peace. See, I know my Father's with me. He loves me. You know, he loves me. And I hope each one of you in your night know that your Father loves you. No, my life is not a bed of roses, never has been and probably never will be, but I know I have a Father who loves me. And the devil's tried to kill me all my life, and I'm still living today. I've died 3 times, and 3 times God brought me back, you know. Well, 4 times since I never had my heart surgery. I'm not going to die. My Father's with me. He loves me. It's a purpose for my life. Why don't you grab a hold of that tonight? But see, I don't go out there and sin either. That's not my nature, and I don't have a sin nature. And so, you know, if you want God to be with you, if you want God to protect you, and you want God to work through you in miracles, then you're going to have to get out of your sin nature. Don't tell me you can't do it. That's just an excuse, because that's what God told me. He said, you can, you just don't want to. Where am I at? First, I'll shut up before I get in trouble. 1 Thessalonians 5:17. Pray without ceasing, and everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. I do give God thanks for everything he does, because every service we have, I give him thanks. Because sometimes if he wasn't in here, this would be a zoo. Amen. Thank you, God, for coming and stopping the zoo tonight. Amen. Come on. Treat it with reverence. See, this is why God stopped the other revival, you know, the one in every church, and just not our church, because he said, they are no longer giving my son's blood honor. They're mocking my Holy Spirit and walking on the blood of my son, and I'm not having it. So he stopped it all. That's when he pulled away the healing ministry too. So see, it's not God's fault this happened. It's our fault it's happened. It's the church's fault because they did not give reverence to what God was doing. The revival broke out in Florida that time with Todd Bentley. That stopped because there was the reverence stopped. Everybody was mocking everybody. He got into sin. It became a zoo there too. So God just stopped it. He wanted to have revivals many times, but because of the people's actions, he couldn't allow it. He couldn't let us think that we could do whatever we want to do and still walk in all that glory. He can't, he won't do that. We'll go straight to hell. I guess you know that, don't you? We will never make heaven our home because we're so comfortable with sin. And we thought, oh, well, God's let me do that. So I'm just going to go. I'll go to heaven. No, you won't. No, you won't. I was telling my husband, I know somebody that a female that pastors 3 churches. She drinks, she smokes, she cusses, and she gambles. And people think she's the best thing gone. Now, I don't like that. You know, she gets a paycheck, a car, a brand new car every year. She has a very big house, you know, they supply her with and everything else. And I said, I'm not going to really fuss about that. Because when she stands before the Lord, he's not going to say, welcome in. He's going to say, depart from me, you worker of iniquity. I don't know you. Amen. So I don't care how many churches you have. I don't care how many people you have. If you're not walking right with God, you're not going to go to heaven. So get that in your little, this thing here tonight, and understand that your thinking is messed up. Amen. In case you don't know it, John the Baptist was a forerunner for Jesus' coming, right? He was hard. He spoke repentance, right? That's what he preached. So God told me, you're the second John the Baptist, preparing the way for the second coming of Jesus. So I'm hard about repentance. So just don't, if you don't like it, take it to God. Amen. That is why the church is in a mess, because we don't have enough preachers preaching repentance. We have too many preachers letting you think you can sin your way through life and you'll still go to heaven. And that's not true. You'd be surprised how many people come to, I'll go to heaven. No, you won't. Yes, I will. My pastor said so. I don't care what your pastor said. Read your Bible. You will not either. Amen. 2 Samuel 6:6-7 says, but when they came to the threshing floor of Nacon, Uzziah reached out toward the ark of God and took hold of it, for the oxen nearly upset it, and the anger of the Lord burned against Uzziah, and God struck him down there for his irreverence, and he died there by the ark of God. I'm like David, I can't understand why God killed this man. He was just trying to save the ark, but God called it irreverence. Right? Let it fall, I'll pick it back up, God was probably saying. You know? Be willing to abandon, or it's another thing you need to do, be willing to abandon plans and programs to host his presence when the glory falls. This is a critical point for local churches. There are many local churches asking God for outpouring, but if it came, would we be willing to abandon our plans and be flexible? I don't think so. I hear you complaining too much. You're already complaining and the glory hasn't even fallen. You're making a list of all the stuff you have to do. Well, I've told you, God's told you that you're not going to have time to do all that stuff. So why are you fussing about it now? Because you're not prepared for an outpouring, that's why. It must be valued, the outpouring. It must be valued and the leadership must be willing to make room for it. Outpouring is powerful, but not always convenient. Outpouring is powerful, but not always convenient. Plans and programs must bow to the power of the Holy Spirit. When God begins to move in great power, everything else must take second place. You know, Kenneth Copeland, he'll decide he's going to have a meeting. You know, anybody that's ordained under you, they'll stay under you. And, you know, and you're accountable for that pastor. And so all the pastors that Kenneth Copeland has ordained, they live all over the world. They all have jets. So at the spur of the moment, he'll come and say, get here in an hour. We're having a meeting. They drop everything, get in their little jet and jet right there. Amen. And they better, or they're not under his program no more. He just let them go. Because he wants obedience. God has told him to do something with those leaders. And if they aren't willing to come, then he's done with them. Because he can't count on them. God can't count on them. Y'all don't have jets, so get your little bicycles and bicycle, all right? All right, keep following the cloud. An outpouring is a work of the Spirit. It's not of flesh. Never has been, never will be. There is no man-made formula for an outpouring. Many people ask, how long should an outpouring last? And they ask, what does it look like? All outpourings are different. In case you don't understand what goes on here, we are having small drops of the glory. That's what's going on here. And I kept saying, God, when are you going to bring the glory? When are you going to bring the glory? He says, it's already there. It's just in small drops. He said, but when I desire to, I'm going to bring the full glory. So what you see going on here, God moving upon your life, you're sitting here crying, that's the moving of the Spirit. That's the outpouring of God's glory upon you people. Now, if I wasn't right with God, you would not see that happening. I'm going to tell you right now, you would not see that happening. I have to think about Catherine Kuhlman. You know, she was mightily anointed of God, and she would just call meetings. You know, they would say, well, Catherine Kuhlman, in fact, I went to her meeting one time and she didn't show up in Philadelphia. And she just said, they're just put out, she's going to be in Philadelphia, and everybody just went. And before she ever got there, people were already healed. She didn't have to be in a building. They were already healed. She didn't preach. Every time I saw any video of her, she stood up there and just told about how God, she met God. And then she started calling people up on the platform saying, what did God do for you? And all these people were healed without her doing nothing. Because it wasn't her doing it. She was just a vessel that God anointed, and she stayed holy and pure, and God could use her to hold these meetings, and then he could perform his miracles. Amen. And if you know her story, the reason why she had a heart attack and died is because she got mad at God, because God raised up other ministers with the same anointing. And she asked God, how dare you do that? So God gave her a heart attack and she died. Read her book. It's in her book. All right? So God can do anything he wants to as many people as he wants to. It's none of your business. Amen? I could say, God, how come you started in California, not here? But I wouldn't dare ask God that. That's his business, right? Come on. Delaware's not ready for great outpouring of God, I'll tell you right now. Okay, I've lost my place now. All right, I saw all outpourings are different. They are unique moves of the Holy Spirit sent to shift people into a deeper place in God. Those who lead an outpouring must be like children surrendering to the Father and following him at all cost. Now, I'm the leader of this outpouring. I do hear God's voice, and I have to follow God. Whether you want to follow or not, that's entirely up to you. I'm not making you do nothing. All right? I'll just be sitting around doing absolute, you know, I'll be working, changing a diaper or something, and all of a sudden God just starts giving me instructions. Then as soon as I get done doing what I'm doing, I get on the phone and I'll start calling Chris because he makes notes of all this stuff, and I tell him what God said, or I go to my computer, write it down, and tell people later. But, you know, this is what you have to be close to God. Isn't that what he told us? So close to God that nothing can come between you and God. And believe me, many things have tried to come between me and God. But it's up to me. It's my vessel. It's my ministry. Each one of you have your own ministry. I don't mean the church. I mean me, period. It's my ministry to be an evangelist for the Father. So I have to make sure that nothing comes between me and God, no matter what happens. Hell or high water. Nothing can come between me and God. None of my kids, my husband, friends, nobody can come between me and God. You know? I didn't say quit loving people. I didn't say that. Well, you know my wife. Well, you know my husband. Well, you know my kid. Get out of here. That's excuses because you really don't want to get close to God. You don't want to do what God's calling you to do because it's going to take work. It all takes work. God told me, he said, every program you start in a church, you know, is going to take extra work. And I said, no, Father, because he tells me what to do. And then he tells me, after I say, okay, we'll do it, he says it's going to take extra work. But you already know that. Don't we know that? We're not dumb, are we? We know anything you take on is extra work, right? So that means you're going to be extra busy. There is an element of mystery in an outpouring as people endeavor to follow the cloud and keep moving with the Holy Spirit. He has the right timing, the right songs and sounds, and the right expressions. He knows exactly what needs to happen. The key is for us to follow him. Him. All right. Now, a couple years ago, God said, all right, now what I'm doing is I'm taking somebody from Virginia and I'm going to send them to Delaware. I'm taking somebody from Delaware and I'm going to send them to Arkansas. You know, he was taking people from one state and placed them in another state. He was taking people from one church, placed them in another church. And what he was doing through all this switching around was getting the people where he wanted them to be, because he knew how he had to use them in those places, and he knew what he was going to do in those places. Now, it was up to the people whether or not they did what God told them to do. Amen. People tear me up. They come here and say, God said I was supposed to be here, and I know they're supposed to be here. And then they're here a couple months and realize, oh, she preaches pretty hard, and I can't do the sin I used to do. So they come to me and say, God told me I got to move now. No, he didn't, but you go ahead and go. You know, don't come to me that garbage. If you're going to go, just go. Don't come and tell me. You know, if you're going to go, you know, God tells me they're going to come and tell you. He told me one time this couple came to me, and he told me a couple days before, he told me exactly what they were going to say, word for word for word for word. They came to me, told me while they were leaving, word for word for word for word. I said, well, I bless you, and I hope you get everything you want from God in your endeavors. I didn't say, well, I already know you're lying. I didn't say that. I didn't have to say that. You know? So don't come to me with a big cock and bull story because I already know what you're going to say. That's the truth. Not bragging. I'm just saying, when you walk close to God and God's called you to be a forerunner and a leader, then He's going to, and a prophet, He's going to tell you what's going on so that you're not standing out there in the dark saying, duh. You know? Why would He do that? He doesn't do that. Where am I at, Brad? Father speaking. Okay, this is what God said. Remember, a new wave of my glory will fall, and many will be under the weight, this weighty power for some time. So you guys who live in the church, quit complaining because the people linger. They might lay here all night. If you don't like it, put your bed out in the backyard. Because when the power of God comes, people do get in the spirit. They fall out in the spirit. I've been out in the spirit 4 hours. Not even knowing where I was at, what I was doing. I was just, you know, I was standing. Next thing I know, I wake up. Here's Chris. He stood there all that time over me each time I did that. So nobody would kick me and do anything else to me because the whole ministry went on while I was down on the floor. I didn't know what I was going to have. I didn't hear nothing. I wasn't snoring either. Come on. Some of you people get so caught up in the spirit, you snore so loud that, you know, just. I wasn't sleeping. I was out in the spirit. I went somewhere and I don't know where I went. Come on. Come on. Are you listening? Are you guys ready to lay here all night and not worry about what your work schedule is going to be tomorrow? You might want to get your work scheduled together the night before just in case you don't show up for work the next day. When they was having that great outpouring in Florida, I went to that. And a lot of Japanese people came to that. But, you know, the people go out in the spirit. They didn't have any more room because it was no bigger than this. The auditorium wasn't. And they just picked them up. Somebody got their arms, somebody got their feet, and they carried them up, laid them on the grass. And some were laid on top of the other. Feet on top of the other. And they laid there all night. That's just how it was. But they get up so anointed of God, they couldn't even walk. They were staggering all over the place, didn't know where they were at or anything else. And they were out all night long. We're not going to take you out here and lay in the freeway. Believe me, we're not. All right? No place to lay you out there. I don't know where we're going to put you. Stag you, I guess. I would appreciate if ladies wore pants and dresses, blouses that covered your bosom. I don't care to look at your bosoms. Men do, but they shouldn't. And you're enticing the men. Wear something that's decent in order whenever you come into the house of God. Because how do you know what's going to happen to you if you're going to be laying out in the spirit? All right? Come on. Let's not always seek God for outpourings in our region, but let's also pursue wisdom when He answers us. Proverbs 29:18 tells us, where there is no vision, the people perish, but happy is he who keeps the teaching. God gave me the vision over 8 years ago about the glory falling, and I sure haven't let you forget it, have I? I keep telling to you over and 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 over. I'll be glad when he does it and gives me something new to tell you. Amen. And he's told us we're going to get a new building too. He told me that. He told me that years ago, didn't he, Brother Chris? He's going to fill this church back up again. And then overnight, we're going to go into a brand new building. We're going to have all the monies we need to do everything we need, everything. It's not going to be a problem. We're just going to do the shift very quickly. Shift, I said, all right? I have heard that if you don't give up, if you are diligent to keep declaring the prophetic vision, it will come to pass in that Kairos moment. We have not given up. I have not given up. I have kept saying it and saying it and saying it and saying it till I actually convinced myself it was real. Amen. Come on. And see, this is what, when God gives you a promise, you need to keep telling it to yourself until you convince yourself, yes, it really is going to happen, or the enemy is going to come and steal it from you. I'll never forget the other revival we had where we put it, miracles are going to happen. And miracles did, but just not the kind of people thought. And this man came to me and he had a bad back, I think, and he didn't get healed. But he said, you know, the reason why I'm here tonight is because anybody's brave enough to put the miracle was going to happen. I had to come and see what was going on. I thought, come on now. I wasn't brave about nothing. God told me to write it. I wrote it. Amen. And he did do miracles. It just was not the way people wanted it. The miracle of being delivered is a miracle. And this is what he did in that. He did a lot of deliverances took place right here in this altar. And that's what that was all about, was deliverance. And we had another one, and people were trying to do deliverance, and God said, I don't want deliverance. That's not what this is for. See, you guys aren't walking in the Spirit, or you would know that. I have to tell you, no, don't do that. I shouldn't have to tell you that. Your spirit man should be so in tune that you would know exactly what you're supposed to do. Oh, you're our leader. Well, you've been in the Spirit long enough to know what to do and to hear God's voice. He told me to do it. No, he didn't. Sit down, be quiet. And I'll tell you that because I know what God's saying. It's his house. Amen. You think, well, she's cocky. No, I'm not. I just know who I am in Christ Jesus, and I've been at this a long time. I've seen the fake, and I know the real. And I know I've been in a dark place for 12 years, and I'm tired of the dark place. Now, I'm going on. I am going on. I don't care who follows. I really don't care. You can sit back there all you want to, because I really don't care. I'm going on because I know my Father's with me. And I know he'll do exactly what he said he's going to do. You know, it's funny how people think. It, you know, I had a wonderful praise and worship team, and so somebody in the praise and worship team thought they knew a bit more than I did, and they were going to dethrone me. And, well, that didn't happen. They said, well, we'll just leave. Watch how she'll fall, because she needs us. No, I don't. I don't need you. I just need God. I won't answer the call. And she'll be in a straight. No, I won't. Because, see, God will send somebody else in your place. Are you understand what I'm saying here? Don't think you're all that and then some, because God can replace me in any given second. He could strike me dead right now and put somebody else in his pulpit if that was his desire. And I know that. See, you need to know who you are in Christ Jesus, and you need to walk in the holiness of God and the purity of God. Then you will know that who's speaking to you. You'll know whether it's God or the devil, and you will follow God's voice. You'll be obedient to him, and you won't get yourself in a whole lot of trouble. Amen? The two times I got in trouble, I was disobedient to the voice of God, and that's a fact. I'll never do it again. Twice is enough. I don't need to go around that mountain the third time. Amen? Habakkuk chapter 2 verse 2 says, then the Lord answered me and said, write the vision and make it plain on tablets that he may run who reads it. That's why we put our vision out there, so everybody can see what we're going to do. Amen. For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end of it will speak. For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it will speak, and it will not lie. Though it tarries, wait for it, because it will surely come. It will not tarry. Now, you know, as I was laying in bed this morning and I was meditating about a lot of things, when I first started, I went to Florida to Bill Hammond's church, and they prophesied over me because I requested it, and they said, we see a white car stuck in the mud, but the white car gets pulled out of the mud and goes on. Then they told me, at some point your ministry is going to get stuck in the mud. But don't die with it, because God will come and pull you out of the mud. And that's exactly what happened. And so now I know. And so when I was laying there, God said, this is the time that the car is pulled out of the mud. Amen. Come on. The appointed time has come. Now you can either go ahead and go on with God and get everything you need from God, or you can stay stuck in the mud. I really don't care. I know you think I'm ignorant. I'm really not. You know, the only way I've worked with you people. The only way to really talk to you is, matter of fact, patting you on the back and say, oh, it's going to be all right, has not worked. So you just need to hear it right up front. This is where the rubber meets the road. This is the way it has to be, or it's never going to be. Why are you stuck in the mud again? You were out. Why are you stuck in there again? I'm not going to get back in the mud. I know how I got there, and I'm not going there again. Amen. Come on. That was my second disobedience. That's why I got stuck in the mud. Well, I didn't understand what God was saying, so that's why I was disobedient. So please, do yourself a favor. When God says something, bug him to death until he tells you what he really means, so you aren't disobedient. I believe with my entire being that March 15th is our Kairos moment, and the glory of the Lord, the glory cloud is going to pour out a mighty deluge of rain upon the lighthouse, and it will overflow into the community. I wrote that down because God spoke that to me, so I wrote that down so I wouldn't forget it, because I wanted to get it accurately. Now, I believe with every fiber of my being that we are in the time of revival in this area. And each and every one of you sitting here that really truly want to follow God, you have a vital role in that revival. Now, it's up to you whether or not you sink or you swim. You can either get the sin out of your life and sink, you can get the sin out of your life and swim, or you can keep the sin in your life and sink. And quit telling, there's nothing wrong with me. Get it. Every time you tell me that, I know there's something wrong with you. Every time you say, nothing's wrong with me. Yes, there is. Or you wouldn't have made that statement. Amen. I know what's wrong with me. I've even told you what's wrong with me. I know I have wounds in my soul. And I'm doing what Katie says. I'm getting those things healed. And the church did the most of the destruction. But it's not going to happen again. Because, see, God called me to be an evangelist. So the first 30 years when I was in ministry, I went out on the road quite a bit. And you know what? They about had me for supper. I'm surprised how many ministers are jealous because you have an anointing they don't have. They call you to minister in their church, and then they see God move. They get all uptight and they act stupid, and then they discredit you. I couldn't believe how that happened so quickly. And I did nothing wrong. But because they didn't have the anointing, they had to discredit me. That's a shame. So anyhow, God had to pull me in off of the evangelistic field is what I'm getting at. So I could get healed. And so I could see through his eyes instead of my little rose-colored glasses exactly what the church is all about. So that when he sends me back out there again, they won't be able to have me for supper. Amen. This is what God's trying to do to each and every one of you in here tonight. He's trying to get you prepared for the wolves that are out there to devour you the minute you step out there into your ministry. And if you don't get prepared, it's not God's fault, because he sure has given you enough material in here to get prepared. The church is hateful and the church is ignorant. When I was in the world, you know, I worked at the college for 20-some years. And when you work at a workplace, you all know it's like a family, right? And, it is just like a family. You love each other. You think about each other, you know, and you take each other little gifts and you're nice to each other. I thought the church was going to be better than that. I was so excited I got born again. I always went to church, you know, but I was so excited I got born again and learned that Jesus talks to me, you know. And I went into church thinking, boy, it's going to be so wonderful. Everybody's going to love me. And we're just going to be all chummy, chummy, mochi, mochi, you know. And, well, that was wrong. First church I went into, and the pastor found out I was anointed. I didn't know what it was. She told me to sit down and shut up. You know, so I had to find a couple of churches before I found one where somebody explained to me, you're anointed of God. And they're jealous of your anointing. You know? So, where are you at in the spectrum? Are you really wanting to move on with God, or are you just saying with your lips you want to move on with God? Are you really ready for a great outpouring? Because it's going to come here. And if you're not ready, you won't be here. Because God told us years ago, get in the river now. Because if you don't get in the river now, and when the river is here, and you're going to want to get in, I won't let you get in. And he told me, I won't let anybody ride on your coattails. So you're going to have to ride on your own coattail. All right? You're going to have to do your own praying, whatever you have to do. You're going to have to do it yourself, because you're not going to ride on my coattail. I paid my price. Each one of you is going to pay your price. All right? Now, I hope that, that you're here, and I hope that, you get in the river when it gets here and get drowned in the rain or whatever, however you want to put it, but I can't make you. Did I lose my little gentleman that was sitting back there? You know, it doesn't matter if you like what I say or not. What matters is it led by the Holy Spirit, and if it offends you, then you have problems and you need to get them right. I've sat in churches where pastors accused me of stuff I didn't do, and I didn't even know he was even talking about me. Till they confronted me after the service, I said, "Oh, was that me you was talking about? I didn't do that." You know, don't come back to my church. I said, "Okay, I won't." Didn't bother me, and I just went and found another church. Are you understanding this? See, if you really walk with God the way you ought, you won't get offended by things that are said in the house of God. Brother Brett and I have a little joke going. We're going to get one. You know, whenever they have that little glass thing for a fire, if there's a fire, you break it. We're going to put a shoe in there. You know, if the shoe fits, put it on. You walk around, break the glass, and get the shoe and put it on if it fits. You know, if I preach something, you get offended. Well, that the shoe fits. So go get it and put it on. That includes him too, by the way. Are you ready for an outpouring? That didn't sound convincing to me. Are you ready for an outpouring?
Yeah!
Thank you. Well, then I want you to start getting prepared. If you haven't noticed, the anointing, it gets stronger and stronger and stronger in here till one day. And when I keep seeing Jesus walking in here, I know something great's going to start happening. You know, and Sister Barbara keeps telling me there's a portal there. And God said, "That's a lie. Let me finish." He said, "That's not the only portal in here. There are portals all over the room. Portals for all kind of healing, for all kind of things, all over the room. Not just one." See, she said, "There's one right here." Getting bigger, that's a lie. He said, "They're all over the room." So the portals are already here for God to start dropping down the miracles. Do you understand this? So all we have to do is be prepared, truly prepared to receive whatever miracle that you need through those portals. God wants you to know that tonight is just the beginning of something that he's stirring with deep within your spirit. And if you let him keep stirring, he'll stir it until there is nothing else there except his glory. He wants to stir out all that old junk and garbage you have stored in there. And he wants room for nothing but his glory, so that when you walk out there, I don't care where you go, the glory in you is going to cause other people to be changed. See, I've walked in, and when I've been in the grocery store, people saying, "What did you just do to me?" "I didn't do nothing. I got healed." "What did you do to me?" "I didn't even touch you." I was in a church, and this pastor's husband was wanting to dance in the spirit and speak in tongues, and I was sitting at the end of the row, and he got up to go do something. He walked by me. I felt the virtue leave my body and hit him. I didn't know what it was at the point until I read it in the Bible, and he started speaking in tongues and ran all around the church for about 15 minutes, and he never stopped. I know what it is to carry the glory. I know that wherever you go, people's lives are changed because you're there with God's glory in you. I know these things. I've lived these things, and living like I've been living for the last 12 years has been pure hell. It's like a walking dead person, and I'm not going back there. I'm not. And I hope each one of you have determined your heart tonight. I want that glory so that wherever I go, people's lives will be changed. I know that whenever I walked into a room, people just start crying and run up me and grab me, just crying. "I don't know why I'm crying. Why am I crying? I don't know why you're crying." Now I know why they're crying, because the glory was there and it was the Spirit of God drew them. Are you understanding this? It is possible to be a glory carrier. But God said we have to be bold. That's why I told you this morning, I'm back to being who I was before I got born again. Sin is sin, and my house is not a house of thieves and sin, and it's going to be the house of God once again. The same as the church is the same way. Sin has got to go. I was laying in bed and God said, what does your sign say on the door? I said, house of refuge. He said, how can it be a house of refuge if the people in there are already in sin? How can I send anybody else in there where they won't be in a place of refuge? They'll still be in the world. Are you understanding this? Come on. I'm stirred up because God has stirred me up. And he said, it's change time for the body of Christ. Are you willing to be one of those that wants to be changed? If you want to come up, go ahead. But this glory is going to change this whole Delaware area. I'm telling you guys, people are going to run to you and be wanting what you have. And I hope what you have is the glory of God dwelling within your body.